The Minionverse, a Marvel Cinematic Universe and Despicable Me crossover fanfic by Meredith. Read by Black Glass. Chapter 1. Kidnapped. "Wait, wait, wait. We're not doing this," the girl says, clapping her hands together. The minions grumble and disperse around Steve, the last one side-eyeing the girl and poking his ribs with the mop handle. Another minion sidles up to the one with the mop and smacks him upside the head. The minions argue over the mop, gloved hands slapping at each other until the mop clatters to the floor. Steve grunts in pain, but makes no other move, keeping his hands held high over his head. "We need to stop meeting like this," he says, mouth twisting up in a crooked smile. "You're an idiot," he thinks. Steve isn't entirely sure what's going on here. One minute he was headed home, still in his suit, a small skirmish with Doombots that wrecked a Starbucks. The next he was on a cluttered van, surrounded by warm yellow bodies that smelled of Play-Doh, and jabbered in a language he couldn't fathom. He could still smell the burnt coffee that seeped into his boots. The left one squished when he shifted his feet. "Isn't that rather cliché, Captain?" she asks, batting away one of the minions, tugging at the soft folds of her fluffy robe. It's blue, covered in sleepy clouds, with a yawning sun peering out from the pocket. Under the robe, he can see one fuzzy pink slipper with a spiraling golden horn, long curly eyelashes, and dull plastic eyes staring vacantly into his soul. "You know we're not the bad guys, right?" "Steve," he says, lowering his hands to his sides. He's more than a little relieved that she didn't comment on his stumbling line. "Okay, Steve. How did you get in here?" Steve lowers his gaze to the minion gripping her robe. She looks at him blankly, and he arches his left brow. "Oh, oh no," she sighs, running a hand through her loose hair. "No, you did not bring the real Captain America home. Why did you bring him here, Fred?"
"Baratu,"
the minion, Fred, says, wringing his small gloved hands together.
"Darcy."
"For me? Why would you bring him here? Dad's gonna kill me," Darcy says, crossing her arms over her chest, the unicorn slipper stamping on the ground. Steve's not sure if it's meant to be impressive or not, but the minions around the edges of the room make an
"Oh!"
sound, and shuffle around.
"La boda!"
pipes up a smaller minion, a single eye in the middle of his forehead. The minion points from Darcy to Steve. Her eyes go wide, and pink warms her cheeks. Steve thought she was beautiful before, when he thought she was a villain, and it turned out she wasn't quite what she seemed to be. But now? Now, with the blush on her cheeks, and her blue eyes wide and bright, she was gorgeous, even dressed in ridiculous unicorn slippers.
"No, Dave, no,"
Darcy says, shaking her head and carefully avoiding Steve's eyes. The minions all begin to babble at once. One keeps saying,
"Potato!"
over and over again, and the rest keep pointing back and forth between Steve and Darcy.
"No!"
"Da!"
says Fred. The rest of the minions nod, broad smiles on their faces.
"No!"
she repeats.
"No what?"
Steve gives in and asks. Really, he has no idea what's going on, since he woke up in a sea of yellow limbs and blue denim.
"Da, da, da, da,"
chorus the minions.
"Cap,"
says Fred, pointing at Steve and tugging on Darcy's hand. The minions start repeating,
"Cap" and "Darcy,"
over and over. One minion starts blowing raspberries. There are hands on Steve's back, shoving him forward to meet Darcy in the middle of the room. His left boot squishes unpleasantly.
"I'm not marrying him," Darcy says, waving her hand about and smacking Steve in the chest.
Her nose wrinkles, and he's pretty sure she can smell the coffee that soaked into the lower half of his uniform. He really should have gone back to the tower instead of taking the train home.
"Oh," Steve thinks. "Is that what..."
"Da!"
the minions cheer.
"Date! Date! Date!"
"I don't think..."
he starts, and Darcy levels her gaze at him. She's tiny, standing there in her silly slippers and wild hair.
He'd be lying to himself if he didn't admit he wanted to push back the strands of dark hair covering her left eye. Or kiss her. His eyes dropped down to the curve of her berry pink lips.
You know what?
Yeah, okay, a date.
What?
I'd like to date a girl before I marry her, Steve says. It's probably the smoothest line he has ever said, and still he can hear the echo of Bucky's laughter in his head.
Okay, Darcy says softly.
She doesn't look entirely convinced, and he isn't entirely sure either. The minions titter and cheer, clustering close around Darcy and hugging her. Small hands pat him on the back, and one pinches his ass, and starts giggling, saying,
Madam,
over and over. He's pretty sure he's going to owe Fury another $10 after tonight, but at least he has a date. Chapter 2. Beetle.
So are you coming to the SI mixer tonight?
It's going to be fun, Natasha asks, as she slips up on his left.
More fun than this? Steve says, prying the helmet from his head and running a gloved hand through his sweaty hair.
His eyes scan the street, but nothing is moving but a scrap of newspaper caught in a vent.
Linda from accounting will be there. She likes you.
Strawberry blonde with the aversion to all things green?
Yes.
Yeah, no. Besides, I... It's those little yellow guys again, Sam says, as he swoops down to land on his right.
What? Where?
Steve says, shoving his shield onto his back.
Never mind.
He sees the minions then, a small pack of them clambering over the prone body of a mammoth lemon-yellow beetle. Definitely not the car. They'd been tasked with fighting half the afternoon. One of the minions tumbles to the asphalt, and another begins laughing and waving his arms around cheerfully.
Damn it!
Are those...
Minions, Steve says, wincing as the minions turn as one and scramble to reach him.
Natasha raises her weapons, and Steve holds out his arm.
They're harmless, Nat.
Natasha tilts her head at him, eyebrows arching up. Trust me.
Cap! Cap! Cap!
The minions cheer as they swarm over to them. There's a baker's dozen of them, crawling all over each other to hug him. It's not pleasant, nor is the constant chatter emanating from their mouths. He can only catch every seventh word or so, a repetition of,
Cap! Darcy! Date!
And,
La Boda!
And the happy babble as they poke and prod at his uniform. One taps on his shield.
I have a date.
Date!
Says a minion with a single eye. Dave, Steve thinks. Or possibly Fred.
Da!
Chorus the rest of the minions.
Since when? Sam says, pushing away an inquisitive minion, tugging at his left boot, and shaking another from poking at his wings.
Hey, stop that! Not a single minion touches Natasha. One minion with two eyes hidden behind goggles and dark specks of hair on his head appears to be sketching Natasha's boots on a small notepad. Its tongue is caught between large square teeth as he concentrates.
Since the last time they showed up, Steve says, as two minions begin to tug on his gloved hand.
You couldn't just ask out a girl from accounting, could you? Natasha says, glaring at one of the taller minions caught reaching towards her ass.
Darcy Lewis, one of Felonious Grew's daughters. She checks out, he says, before Natasha can say anything else. He wasn't going to have a repeat of the barista at his third favorite coffee shop, who just so happened to, A, not be entirely human, and B, was a Hydra agent. Yeah, that wasn't going to happen again.
Darcy, Darcy, Darcy,
the minions chorus.
Gelato!
Cries another minion, thrusting small gloved fists into the air. Dave, the minion, curled his fist and bopped the other on top of his head.
She pretty? Sam asks, and Steve fails to keep his face neutral.
She's gorgeous, he wants to say. A minion pulls out a small black cube and holds it up to Steve.
Thank you, he says, taking it carefully.
Darcy,
the minion coos, and presses the top of the cube. The cube unfurls into a rectangle in his hand, and a video plays of the night the minions kidnapped him.
"I'm not marrying him," Darcy says,
waving her hands about in the video.
"She's pretty," Natasha says thoughtfully,
as she pulls the tablet from his hand.
"Hey, watch where you put your hands," Sam says, turning around and rubbing his behind.
"That one pinched my ass."
"Bottom,"
chirps the minion in question, a wide grin on its sunny face.
"Stop that," Steve says, pulling his hands free of the minions to cross his arms over his chest.
He levels the minions with his best Captain America is disappointed face. Two minions' lips wobble, and a third bursts into tears.
"Damn it,"
Steve sighs, wishing he had the patience of a saint. Or a sniper.
"Nice going, Cap. Look what you did,"
Sam says, awkwardly patting a minion on the head as the minion clings to his leg. A minion with a single eye starts pointing at the watches strapped to his wrist and taps his foot impatiently. Steve is pretty sure neither watch tells the correct time. The minion spits out a string of babble ending in
"La boda."
"I'd like to date a girl before I marry her,"
he hears himself say on the video. Steve winces. It really sounded better at the time.
"Who knew you could be so smooth, Rogers?"
Sam says, clapping him on the shoulder. There's laughter in his voice, and Steve's mouth twitches up at the corners. The minions swarm over Steve and begin to push and pull at him.
"Hey, hey," he says.
"Have fun on your date,"
Natasha calls out behind him.
Sam adds a far too cheerful, "Don't forget to use protection,"
that stops the minions in their tracks and makes Steve wish he had better friends. The minions glare at Steve, small arms crossing over their cylindrical chests. The tips of Steve's ears grow warm, and he holds his hands up in front of him.
"Thanks, Sam," Steve says dryly.
"No problem, man," Sam replies. The minions chatter, occasionally giving him pointed looks before they begin to pull at him again, leading him in the opposite direction from the beetle.
"Wait, I can't go out like this," he says, waving at his uniform-covered torso.
The minions ignore him as they tug him towards an inconspicuous gray van, with two minions leaning out the window at the driver's side.
"Da,"
says Dave, nodding his head enthusiastically. Sunlight glints off the safety glass of the minions' goggles and burns into Steve's eyes. He really hopes that Darcy leaves the minions' home. He has a feeling there will be minions spying on them anyway. Steve's right boot squishes with every step he takes.
"No, wait. My apartment first," Steve says stubbornly. "I'm not going to go on a date, smelling like bug guts."
The minions blink up at him.
"Darcy won't like it?"
He tries again.
"Ah,"
the minions coo, and start jabbering excitedly among themselves.
"Come on, then," he sighs.
Chapter 3. Shovel. The sound of breaking glass filters through the closed bathroom door. Steve grits his teeth and wishes he left them in the hallway for Mrs. Mancini to deal with. Mrs. Mancini stole his newspaper every other morning when he was out running. He counts to 10 in his head.
"Be careful!"
"Beetle!"
chorus the minions through the door. His shirt is missing from the hanger.
"Where's my shirt?"
There is a shuffling and whispering among the minions. The door opens a crack, and a new shirt is shoved through the gap. It's not the pale green button-down he'd picked out for the date, but a blue shirt with small mother-of-pearl buttons. The shirt is a few shades darker than his eyes, or perhaps the color of Darcy's. It's definitely not his shirt. He puts the shirt on anyway, and is thankful the minions haven't seen fit to take his jeans. They're his favorite pair. "This isn't mine," he says, when he opens the door.
"Cap,"
Dave says, twirling his finger around. Steve clenches his jaw and twirls around in a slow circle. It's somehow less humiliating than a trip to the mall with Natasha. The minions gather together whispering, small-gloved hands flailing. Several long minutes pass,
He shoves his hands into his pockets, and rocks back on his heels, eyes scanning the room for what the minions have destroyed. Nothing is out of place. Not one single thing. In fact, the living room is spotless, including the untidy pile of books and newspapers, bought from the newsstand, thank you very much, Mrs. Mancini, he had been reading when the call had been made about the mutated dung beetle roaming the city. He's starting to think the whole idea of this date was a bad decision, and a long line of bad decisions he's made with his life, when the minions pounce. Again. They comb his hair, spritzing him with God knows what. Chemicals fill his lungs and tickle his nose. "Stop, stop, stop," he says as calmly as he can. The minions stuff his arms in a dark blue leather jacket and push a bouquet of coral, pink, and white flowers into his hands. "Will I do?"
"Bow,"
pronounce the minions with toothy grins. Steve reaches up to touch his hair, and a minion scowls at him, waving a finger.
Sorry.
"What do you want?"
are the words that greet Steve when he knocks on the door of Darcy's house, the flowers the minions gave him held awkwardly in his hand.
"I'm Darcy's date, sir," Steve says,
sounding less confident the more syllables fall from his mouth. "Steve Rogers." He holds out his hand, but Gru waves it away.
"A date," Gru says,
dragging out the A in date.
"You have a date with my daughter?"
"Yes, sir."
"Date,"
chorus the minions.
"Nice house," Steve says.
It is nice, in an ominous sort of way, with black painted brickwork and dark purple trim. The lawn is very green, and everywhere there are bright flowers. "May I come in?"
"It is four walls and a roof. The appearance makes no difference," Gru says,
stepping back from the door. Steve follows him into a large living room with floral wallpaper, elaborate framed photos of Gru, the minions, and Darcy and her sisters, as small, almost angelic-looking children. The sofa is a surprise, with its blood-red cushions and dark scales. A dragon, or maybe a crocodile, he thinks. It's a little unsettling, but not any worse than the pictures Thor paints with words. Epic tales of hunting far odder beasts than vaguely malevolent furniture.
"Sit, sit," Gru says, waving his hands from Steve to the immense sofa.
He sits down gingerly on the edge of the couch, and hopes it doesn't bite him in the ass the way reality appears to be.
"Tala,"
Dave, the minion, says. Steve knows that one. Two minions rock up beside him, red and white striped boxes of popcorn clutched tight in their small gloved hands. A third minion tugs on Gru's sleeve, and hands him a small yellow shovel with pink polka-dot ribbon trailing from the handle.
"Yes, it's a very nice shovel, Edgar."
"Hala,"
Edgar says, pointing at Steve.
"Why do I need a shovel?" Gru asks.
"I think they want you to give me a shovel talk," Steve says quietly. This is why Natasha thinks I'm an idiot.
"Do I need to give you a shovel talk?"
"Da!"
the minions chant, clapping their hands together and cheering. Popcorn spills over the floor and onto the toe of Steve's shoe.
"You are aware that I am a supervillain, yes?"
Gru says, drawing himself up to his full height.
"I am aware," Steve says, straightening his shoulders. He thinks, supervillain is a bit of a stretch. He doesn't say that.
"Oh my God," Darcy says, as she steps into the room, coral-colored skirt swirling around her knees with every step she takes. His mouth goes dry, and his brain fogs up. "Pretty please, tell me this is not happening."
"This is not happening," Gru says dryly.
"You are not making death threats to Captain America," Darcy says, her hands on her hips, and a frown on her pink-painted lips.
"What death threats? There are no death threats here. Only heavily implied gross bodily harm."
Gru smiles. It's not a pleasant smile.
"Hi, Steve," Darcy says.
Her voice rasps when she says his name, and a spike of adrenaline surges through his body. Hi, Darcy.
You didn't back out.
No, I didn't, he says, holding out the flowers for her. These are for you.
Minions?
Minions. Okay, let's get out of here, she says, tossing the flowers to a group.
Pod?
Of minions, who scramble over each other for possession of the bouquet. Darcy curls her arms around his, and looks up at him through the dark fall of her lashes. Steve flexes the muscles beneath her hands.
Later, Dad. Minions.
He lets Darcy drag him out of the room and down the hall to the front door, stopping briefly to grab a black leather jacket and tiny purse from the hands of a minion. Oscar or Oliver. It was definitely an O name. Orlando, he thinks.
Like the dress? Darcy asks, as she pulls on her jacket and flicks her hair out from the collar.
It's gorgeous, he says, letting his eyes sweep over her from the loose curls tumbling around her shoulders to the peep-toed wedges on her feet.
You're gorgeous.
Pink creeps into Darcy's cheek, and she tilts her head down, lips curved in a shy smile.
You're sweet.
She thrusts out her foot and rotates her ankle in a slow circle.
And the shoes?
Steve focuses on the ribbons wrapped around her slender ankle.
Are a vast improvement on the unicorn slippers, he replies, and Darcy laughs, full and throaty, head thrown back and eyes sparkling.
They are, aren't they?
Darcy says, slipping her hand in his and lacing their fingers together. Let's go.
Wait! Do you have your ray gun? Gru calls down from down the hall.
Yes, Dad, Darcy says, patting the small purse swinging at her hip.
Steve's eyebrows raise.
Ray gun?
It's totally fine, she says, pulling the door open and pushing him through.
And I'm sorry about my dad. And the minions.
They, watch way too many 80s movies. It rots their brains.
Wait. When did he see your unicorn slippers?
Gru's voice filters through the door. The minions start shouting all at once.
You did what?
Darcy scrunches up her nose.
We better go. Like 10 minutes ago.
Are you?
Yep, totally. Let's rock, Captain.
Chapter 4. The Date.
I'm sorry.
For what? Steve asks, folding down his menu.
Everything?
I think you might need to be a little more specific. Darcy huffs out a laugh. The pads of her fingers nudge the cutlery on the table, lining it up in straight lines on the paper napkin. The restaurant, Miranda's, is tiny, warm and inviting with the rich scent of cooking meats and cilantro, garlic and herbs, cinnamon and chocolate.
Them.
Ah, them. Steve flicks his gaze out across the restaurant to a small table tucked in the corner. Sat at the table are two minions, dressed in what Steve supposes is meant to be civilian clothing, a hat and beige coat on one. The other minion is wearing a curly red wig, garish flowered dress, and eye-burningly bright pink lipstick. The minions stuck down behind their menus. Steve sighs. It's not that he didn't know they were there. Subtle is not a word in the minion's lexicon. Glancing out the small picture window, he can see a van parked across the street. A mural painted on the side. A warrior woman holding a sword while riding a purple unicorn. Classy. In the driver's seat are perched two minions, arguing over what he thinks might be a video camera. Steve's hands curl into fists. He lets the air ease from his lungs and mentally counts to 10. It's not your fault, he says with a half-smile. This is why I haven't been on a date in forever, Darcy says, wrinkling her nose. She twists her plate counterclockwise, the flower pattern aligning towards the center of the table. Steve reaches out and covers her hand with his.
It's fine. I don't mind.
You're a bad liar, Captain, she says, focusing on their hands.
Okay, I don't mind much, he amends.
You know we can get out of here. Go somewhere else.
Are you kidding? They have the best tacos here. Oh, well, if it's tacos.
Give me a sec, okay? Darcy says, pulling her hand free and standing up. Steve gets to his feet, as is proper. She rolls her eyes, but the smile curving across her pretty lips makes his heart beat a little faster. She turns on her heel and marches up to the minions at the corner table. He can't quite make out everything that Darcy says. Her voice is pitched too low for him to hear against the music filtering from the speakers in the corners of the restaurant. The words that drift to his ear bleed from English to French to Mandarin seamlessly, with phrases in Sindarin and Klingon. Steve's halfway through watching Star Trek The Next Generation with Natasha. He wouldn't have picked her for a science fiction fan, but apparently she once used a batleth on a trio of goons on a mission in Indiana. Natasha kept the batleth as a souvenir and has a fondness for the franchise. The minions hop down from the table with sheepish looks on their small yellow faces, gloved hands ringing.
"Beedle, beedle,"
the minions say, and Darcy rocks back on her heels, one pale hand pointing at the door. The bell jingles cheerfully as they scramble through the door and out into the van. A few minutes later, the van takes off down the street in a puff of blue-black smoke. Darcy twirls around, the skirt of her dress flaring out as she beams at him. "The tacos are good." "The burritos are better." He has two, and orders a few more to take home for later. They navigate their way through a minefield of no-go topics. He doesn't talk about his time as a TV dinner, or the time he spent in the stomach of a giant alien worm. Darcy doesn't talk about her dad's failure to make the top 10 list of supervillains, but she does talk about music and science fiction novels. Her whole face lights up when she talks, hands moving as she spins tales about her sisters, growing up with minions as babysitters, and rebelling from the family business. Steve forgets about the minions spying on them, her father, and the persistent ache in his lower back. Slipping off the chitinous back of a giant mutated beetle will do that to you, even with serum-enhanced healing. There is a trickle of warmth in his chest, and for the first time in a long while, he lets himself relax and enjoy the evening. Darcy steals bites of his flan, and he demolishes the last half of her fried ice cream. It's not love that he feels, but he is more than a little bit taken with her as he pays for dinner, after a small, mostly good-natured argument. He did eat more, after all, and there is the bag of tinfoil-wrapped burritos to consider. Steve is also pretty sure the feeling in his stomach when she takes his hand as they reach the pavement has nothing to do with jalapenos or beans, and everything to do with Darcy's hand in his. He does get to see her ray gun, not a euphemism, shining dully in the bottom of her purse like something out of a Buck Rogers story. As dates go, it's one of the best he's had. He wasn't ditched by his date, Doombots didn't attack the block, he didn't get slapped, and nothing exploded. Not yet, anyway. "Would a nickel for your thoughts?" Darcy asks, swinging her hip into his thigh. He feigns missing a step, the plastic bag of food swinging between his fingers. "Not sure they're worth that much," he says dryly. "Don't ruin it," he thinks. "Come on, Steve." "It's been a nice night." "Smooth, Rogers. Real smooth," he mentally chides himself. "You were going to say swell there," she says, jabbing her fingers into his ribs and halting their walk in the yellow glow of a street light.
"No."
"Okay, how about gas? Killer diller? You been sitting on that all night?"
"No, but there is a translation app for Granddad speak. I thought it might come in handy."
"You calling me old?"
"If the high-waisted trousers fit."
"Very funny," he huffs. He hasn't worn those since the first time he was on the helicarrier. There may still be a pair in the back of his closet. Natasha can pry those out of his cold, dead hands. Nothing wrong with a good pair of wool trousers.
"Thank you," Darcy says, low.
Her eyes are on the zipper of his leather jacket, and she rolls her lip between her teeth. "For what?" "For showing up, and not running from the crazy trail that is my life." Steve raises his brows at her soft admission.
"And mine isn't?"
3 seconds later, there is a commotion in the bushes beside the sidewalk, and two minions roll out and onto the street.
Whack, whack, whack,
the smaller minion says hopefully. The taller minion rolls his eye. At least Steve thinks that. He should really pay more attention to Fury.
God, Darcy says, pulling her hand free of his and covering her face. It doesn't do a damn thing to hide the brilliant red of her cheeks. Barry, Gordon, go home now.
Whack?
He asks. Darcy shakes her head, fingers spreading so she can peek out. The minions wave and make exaggerated kissy faces at him.
Ah. Whack, whack, whack,
Barry whispers excitedly. Gordon hisses and smacks the other minion upside the head and begins to drag him around the back of a dark-colored beetle. The Volkswagen, not the mad scientist kind. The VW sporting a faded, I break for Avengers, sticker on the back. Steve grins, wraps his fingers around her slender wrist, bending down to drop a kiss on the back of Darcy's hand. Her lips twitch up, and he pulls her hand away. Darcy's eyes shine in the streetlight, eyebrows arched in surprise. Steve kisses her again, a light brush of his lips on her cheek, before covering her mouth with his. He keeps the kiss slow and close-mouthed. It's perfect. Or it is for a few moments. An almighty cheer sounds, and they are surrounded by minions with happy grins and grasping hands. Darcy laughs in embarrassment, full and bright, shoulders shaking and her forehead pressed against his chest. Steve shakes his head ruefully. He can taste Darcy's lipstick on his lips, and can't keep the stupid smile from his face as he gently bats a minion's hand away from his ass. Chapter 5. Assemble. Where's Thor? Asgard. Banner. South America. Barton. Hospital. Again? Again. So it's just us, then. Well, am I the only one seeing this? Tony asks, flipping up his faceplate. It doesn't really help. Dozens of small yellow creatures, Twinkie-shaped, with goggles covering their eyes, are bouncing around the street. Minions, Natasha says, head tilting to the side, as her eyes flick over a cluster of minions, battling a violently purple-colored creature, its multiple eyes ringing around its body, above writhing tentacles, surrounding a mouth lined with a dozen rows of jagged teeth, dripping a faint orange substance that smoked as it hit the docks. Minions, Sam repeats, arms crossed over his chest, lips twitching. We'll get back to that later, but where the hell is Cap'n Crunch? Over there, Sam says, pointing out one of the minions dressed in familiar red, white, and blue, a glowing holographic shield in one gloved hand, curled around the utility belt, cinched around his cylindrical waist. Not that one. Tall, blond, permanent scowl on his face, no sense of humor. Ring any bells? He's busy. Seriously? He isn't aware there is a creature from the Black Lagoon attacking the city? Tony asks, throwing his hand out towards the cephalopod, casually swallowing a small blue sailboat. Steve's on a date. Pull the other one, Wilson. Second date. He was nervous. It was adorable. With who? Sam snorted and jerked his chin at the minions. Felonious Gru's daughter. That's not funny. The minions nearly kidnapped Steve last week, after that little altercation with the giant yellow beetle you missed out on, Natasha says, arching a perfect eyebrow. I was busy. I'm a busy man. Little Stevie is aware that Gru's a supervillain. No, wait, that's not right. Low-grade villain, right? He's not dating Gru. The daughter checks out. She's lovely, Natasha says coolly, fingers toying with a small blade, not half as sharp as the smile she's wearing. I take it back. This is the best news I've heard all day. The press is gonna love it. I can see the headlines now. Captain America's affair with voluptuous villainess, Stark grins, rubbing his suit hands together in glee.
Avengers, assemble!
The minion dressed like Captain America shouts. He raises his shield and poses dramatically, barrel chest puffed out, sunlight glinting off the lenses of his goggles.
A small contingent of minions shuffle around and form into a loose semicircle, each dressed as a different hero. Captain America, Thor, Hulk, Black Widow, Iron Man, War Machine, Hawkeye. Sam nearly falls over when a minion buzzes over their heads, dressed like himself. The Black Widow minion, in a scarlet wig and matching lipstick slashed across his face, waves at them. Sam and Natasha wave back. The minion's boots are nearly identical to Natasha's own. They aren't close enough to hear as two minions, Iron Man, and one dressed as Captain Hammer, argue over the controls of the cannon. Captain Hammer slaps Iron Man in the face, and an all-out slap fight ensues. The Captain America minion scowls and points at the purple kraken, tearing apart a yacht. The minions jump back to work, aiming the cannon and shooting something up into the air. The kraken plucks the projectile from the air and shoves it into its gaping mouth. The minions cheer. One dressed as Iron Man, costume made from sequin fabric. Tony is not happy about this. Turns and moons the great grape, kraken edition.
Bajar!
Cap Minion shouts, lifting his glowing holographic shield up over his face. A minion dressed as the Black Widow darted behind one dressed in a purple dress with a crossbow in his hands, an Avengers band-aid stuck to his happy yellow face. The kraken screams. The minion stuck down. The purple kraken explodes outward in a shower of chunks of charred purple flesh and gelatinous goo.
"Oh, that's just nasty," Sam says, wrinkling his nose as the scent of burning flesh and rotting fish wafts over.
The minions cheer. A large, shiny silver vehicle pulls up to the dock in a cloud of blue-black smoke. Felonious Gru steps out of the cab and marches over to the largest pack of minions, face turned down in an angry scowl.
"What do you think you are doing?"
"Assemble?"
says the minion in the purple dress. Gru blinks, and the minion waves his crossbow and points at the minion dressed as Captain America. The Captain America minion shakes his head and points up at Tony, Natasha, and Sam, who all shake their heads and wave.
"I am very disappointed in you," Gru says,
kicking a small blob of gelatinous goo. The goo sticks to his shoe, and he scuffs it off on the edge of the wooden dock.
"Beedle,"
the minions chorus.
"Yes, yes, you are. Just look at this mess,"
Gru says, spreading his hands wide, shoulders hitching up with the movement.
"Darcy, Cap, date,"
says the minion dressed as the Black Widow, wig cocked to the side and dripping violent purple goo.
"Date.
La boda."
"No, no, no. I do not want excuses. No more playing at superheroes,"
Gru scowls, hands on his hips.
"Da,"
chorus the minions sadly.
"And clean up this mess,"
Gru says, the ends of his striped scarf flapping in the breeze. "I think that means it's time to go home," Sam says with a shrug, eyeing the Falcon minion zooming past over their heads. Sam waves. The minion waves back and drops like a stone. Sam winces, but the minion pulls up from the dive before he can become a smear on the ground.
"Yep, I'm done."
"You didn't do anything," Natasha says, with a smirk that reaches her eyes.
"Let's put it this way. I need a drink."
"I have drinks," Tony says, scowling at the minion dressed as Iron Man, dancing around a large lump of kraken. Tony shrugs. He's done worse.
Far, far worse.
All it will cost you is the tale of Stevie Boy dating the Big Bad's baby girl.
Deal.
Chapter 6. Eavesdropping. He's not nervous as he parks the bike on the curb in front of Darcy's house. The house of an almost villain in a neighborhood still echoing with children's laughter. Brush-cut grass and barbecue smoke fill his lungs. There are no minions to be seen, only the gleaming silver metal of Gru's vehicle parked on the driveway beside an equally shining Vespa. The Vespa is painted to look like galaxies, swirls of purple and navy over black, strewn with tiny stars. It's got Darcy written all over it in everything but name. He's not nervous, except his hands are sweaty, and his belly twists every time his thoughts turn to Darcy. The memory of her in his arms pushes to the forefront of his thoughts as he leaves the bike at the curb. He can almost taste her laughter on his lips. Their first date had gone better than he could have hoped for, even with an assortment of minions spying from a tricked-out van. The second date ended before the trailers finished at the cinema, with a Doombot attack and a call to assemble. Darcy had said she understood, kissed him, far too briefly in his opinion, and before he slipped through the exit door, the seats around Darcy were filled with minions. The minions had waved as they slipped 3D glasses on over their goggles, one minion with a single eye, frowning fiercely at the useless glasses in his glove-covered hand. That was a week ago, and Steve still wasn't sure if it should be counted as a date at all. Darcy had assured him that she still enjoyed the coffee they shared before walking to the cinema. It wasn't good enough. Darcy deserved better. Tonight was going to be better. Steve smooths his hand over his jean-clad thighs, takes one last strafing breath, and raises his hand to knock.
"Couldn't you date a nice villain instead? You know, maybe one with a nice castle. A mod would be nice this time of year. Very atmospheric."
Gru's voice filters through the open window. Steve's eyebrows raise, and he pulls his knuckles back from the door without knocking. He ignores the echo of his mother's voice in his mind, telling him how rude it is to listen in on private conversations. He's been spending too much time with Natasha.
"Dad, no,"
Darcy says, and Steve imagines the look on her face. Blue eyes bright, head tilted to the side, full lips turned down. He scrapes the toe of his boot over the doormat and stuffs his hand in his pockets. Empty candy wrappers crinkle at the movement, and he makes a mental note to empty his pockets when he can.
What? It's only a suggestion. Light bulb. Dr. Horrible is single. Dad? He's a doctor. Of what? Horribleness? Ugh, Dad, no. I have a date. I like Steve. He's funny. He doesn't mind the minions hanging around all the time. He doesn't care that I'm a villain's daughter. Super villain, Gru interjects.
And every time he smiles, I get butterflies swirling around in my belly. It's crazy.
There should be no Lepidoptera in the digestive tract. The wings get stuck in the throat. Very dry.
Dad, he's a good guy.
I still don't like him. He's too patriotic. Heroic, even.
Good thing you aren't dating him, Dad.
You should think of your sisters. They are very impressionable.
Ugh, Dad, I'm going, Darcy huffs, opening the door and barreling straight into his chest. Steve pulls his hands from his pockets in time to catch her, curling his hands around her upper arms.
Oof!
Darcy blinks up at him, cheeks flushed pink, eyes wide, red-painted lips curving up in a surprised smile. Hi, Darcy, he says, smiling down at her. The leather of her jacket is soft under the pads of his fingers, as he reluctantly pulls back from her. You're early. It's 7, Steve says, pulling back the cuff of his leather jacket to reveal his watch. You said to pick you up between 7 and 7:30. There's a shuffling behind her, and he glanced down to see 2 minions blinking owlishly up at him. The minion on the left, Edgar, is wearing a pink apron edged in frothy white lace, splattered in red that Steve doesn't want to think about too hard. The one on the right, Oswald, or maybe Orwell, is grinning in a way that is more than a little unsettling. Both minions wave, then begin, rather violently in his opinion, to elbow each other. The elbowing turns into a shoving match, yellow arms pinwheeling, and voices rising in anger.
Darcy?
Hold that thought, Darcy says, poking his chest with one blue-tipped fingernail. She turns around, and Steve gets a waft of her perfume. He drags the scent of roses and vanilla into his lungs and swallows hard. He lets his eyes slide over her back, taking in the leather jacket, dark jeans that match the color of his own, and the tall black boots that narrow the gap between their heights.
Edgar, Olivier, no spying. That goes for every one of you, she orders sharply.
Steve is doubtful it will do any good.
The minions care less about boundaries than Stark or Natasha.
Da!
Both minions chorus, nodding. Their gloved hands are hidden behind their back.
Bye, Dad! Minions!
Darcy shouts, louder than Steve thinks is strictly necessary, and pulls the door shut with a hard click. Let's go. The curtains in the window twitch, and Steve makes the effort to turn his back on the line of goggle-covered faces peering out at them. Nice paint, he says, tilting his head towards the little Vespa with its swirling paint. The paint looks different again, as if the galaxies have spun off in different directions. The cluster that looked like a cat now looked like a dragon breathing a fiery cloud. It made the hairs on the back of his neck raise, and something squirm in the back of his mind.
Thanks.
So how much of that did you hear? She asks, waving her hand towards the house. Steve flicks his gaze sideways to take in her scrunched-up nose.
I didn't hear anything.
Why don't I believe you? Darcy says, lips twitching as she steps after him, and Steve can't stop the grin that cracks across his face, full and wide.
If you can't trust old Cap, who can you trust?
Darcy laughs and shoves his arm.
You are so full of it.
I certainly didn't hear anything about butterflies, he says, low, mouth ticking up in an irrepressible smirk.
Jerk,
Darcy says, pink creeping across her cheeks, eyes lit up as she meets his gaze. The tip of her tongue flicks over her full pink lips, and Steve's gaze drops. He ducks his head and kisses her, a firm press of his mouth on the sweet curve of her lips. He swipes his tongue over her bottom lip, and Darcy sighs against his mouth. Steve lets the kiss linger a few moments more before he pulls back. It would be far too easy to let things get carried away, and he knows, better than anyone, that there is always someone watching. He hopes his ears aren't as red as they feel. Steve bounces on his toes a little, feeling far younger than his age, in or out of the freezer. Maybe he'd feel a little more guilty about teasing her if he didn't feel the same way about her. Chapter 7. Unbirthday.
You know, my birthday was last week, Steve says, lifting the bottle of beer to his lips. As parties go, it's not the worst he's been to, not even the worst in his name as far as he's concerned. The ice sculpture is more than a little tacky. His ass isn't that big. He's pretty sure it's not, anyway.
Nobody tells Stark, Sam grins, plucking a bite-sized apple pie from Steve's plate and popping it into his mouth.
Hey, get your own. It's my birthday.
Nah, where's the fun in that, Rogers?
Speaking of fun, Natasha says, slipping up to his side on silent heels. Her eyes dance with humor, and the hairs on the back of Steve's neck raise.
What have you done?
Me? I've done nothing.
Well, not today, anyway, Natasha says, helping herself to a star-shaped cheese-filled canapé on his plate. Steve scowls, and Natasha smirks.
Stark, on the other hand.
Steve jerks his head up, finding Tony bouncing on his toes as he talks with Banner and Colonel Rhodes. Tony's grinning, and his eyes flick from Steve to the closed doors of the penthouse elevator. The elevator doors slide open, and Steve feels the same sort of dawning horror grip him as when he watches terrible horror films with Sam. He wishes, for just a moment, that the elevator is empty. No such luck there, as Felonious grew, and an assortment of blue-clad minions spill out. Two of the minions are pushing a small silver cart with a luminous red, white, and blue.
Is that Jell-O?
I hope that's Jell-O, Sam says, elbowing Steve in the ribs. I don't think Jell-O is supposed to glow.
Palalulalee, Cap!
The minions shout, peeling off from Gru to swarm across the room. Steve winces, hands his bottle and plate to Natasha, and braces himself. Within moments, he is surrounded by smiling yellow faces with grasping hands.
Watch the hands, he mutters,
ignoring the laughter swirling around him. Steve looks up from the minions surrounding him, as Darcy steps out of the elevator, smoothing her hands down the sides of her lace dress.
It's awkward.
awkward and uncomfortable in a way that he hasn't felt since the first time he put on tights, a mask with little wings attached, and held a tin shield with his lines taped to the back. The only thing that makes him feel even remotely better is the way Stark's glee is dampened as the minions disperse around the penthouse, three-fingered gloved hands into anything and everything. Tony Stark isn't happy, and Steve can't quite hide the smirk that curls up with the left side of his mouth. Or the way that his heart feels close to bursting when Darcy curls her hand in his, rocks up on her toes, and whispers happy birthday against his lips. "Thanks," he says, chasing after her mouth with his. The kiss is quick, but enough for the taste of Darcy's lipstick to bloom across his tongue, waxy and tart. The metal of Darcy's ring is smooth against his fingers, and Darcy's smile is blinding. "I didn't know you were coming." "Pretty sure that's the point of a surprise party," Darcy says, head tilting back, eyebrows raised, lips pursed in a smirk. Steve wants to kiss her all over again. "Maybe." Sam clears his throat. Loudly. "Oh, right. Everyone, this is Darcy, my girlfriend," he says, in a rush that is far from as calm and collected as he would like to be. Darcy's breath hitches, and her fingers tighten around his. Her eyes sparkle when he meets them, and for a moment everything fades away to the dull throb of the music and the warmth in his chest.
"Okay, this is awkward," Gru says, clapping his hands together. "I don't see why we needed to be here amongst these heroes. They'll revoke my license."
"We were invited, Dad," Darcy huffs, rolling her eyes. "And her father, Felonious Gru," Steve finishes, contemplating how much trouble it would be to have Gru's sofa brought to swallow him up, leaving change and buttons to be found amongst the cushions.
"So, how's the life of a supervillain treating you?" Tony asks. "Oh, same old," Gru offers, with a shrug.
Darcy pulls her hand from Steve's to grip her purse tight in both hands. "And you, Stark?"
"Not a supervillain," Tony says, pointing to himself. "I went to university. I know how the world works," Gru says, eyes narrowing. "We should go, daughter. I promised your sisters we would not be late."
"Better watch those stones you're throwing, Stark." The tension twists Steve's gut. Before he can find some pretty words or form an adequate escape plan, a crash, followed by a high-pitched ringing, echoes through the room.
"The minions," Natasha mutters.
"The cake," Sam says, sounding almost heartbroken. The cake had been a masterpiece of sugarcraft. 5 tiers of blue icing, decorated in silver stars and ribbons of red, topped in a sugar crystal replica of his shield, on a mechanical base that spun and lit up the shield from below. The cake was now spilled on the floor. Chunks of white, red, and blue velvet cake and buttercream, shards of sugar glittering amongst the carnage.
"Beetle,"
grin 3 icing-drenched minions.
"Oh my God," Darcy snorts, covering her mouth with her hand. "Well, I suppose we could stay a little longer," Gru says.
"Come on," Steve says, tugging on Darcy's hand. "Where are we going?" "Anywhere but here," he says, slipping through the edge of the room. "Isn't this your party, with your friends?" "It's a party. I don't think it matters that I'm here or not." "There's a bigger-than-life ice sculpture of you, all spangled up."
"So?"
"I've been here for like 45 minutes, and at least 7 different cover versions of the Star-Spangled Man with a Plan have played. The burger buns are replicas of your shield, perfectly patriotic cocktails, and cupcakes with teeny-tiny wings on them."
"I'll ask Natasha to save you some cupcakes," he says, lips quirking up as he pushes Darcy through a door ahead of him.
The sound from the party is muted by the door, and Steve lets out a slow breath. "I really hate that song."
"There are worse songs about you. And actually, this Johnny Cash version is totally my favorite."
"Not Nirvana's cover?" Steve asks, amused, and maybe a little bit pleased with himself that he knows the difference.
"Nope."
"Britney's?" Madonna's? You dork. Darcy grins up at him, and Steve crowds her against the door and covers her mouth with his. Maybe it's not so bad an unbirthday after all. End of chapter 7.